Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
And anxieties, and you have no problems, and you never will. So, but I'm going to do the last sermon on this series today. I want to talk about being fearless. I want to talk about being fearless. So that's my topic today, is I want to talk about being fearless, and we'll just pray. Father, I thank you, God, as you would transform us by the power of your word. You said that your word does transform us, so we just ask you to transform us here. We thank you for the power of your word that does transform us, so that when we do face a trial in our life, or when we're facing the trial, God, we just thank you, God, that you would make us those fearless ones who are able to face everything that comes our way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about your thoughts are showing. I did one, actually 3 weeks started this series. 2 weeks ago, I did your thoughts are showing, and I was talking about how your thoughts do manifest. And last week, I talked about how our words create, our words form our future. Our words today, they create the world that we experience tomorrow. So whatever you want to experience, I mean, you could just listen to someone talk for 5 minutes and you can figure out what they're walking into. You can learn a lot about a person just to hear them speak. So we need to be those who are speaking the faith, or we're framing our future with our words. Well, the words you speak are actually based on a lot of the thoughts that you have. You have over 50,000 thoughts a day, and you know, you're going to do something with those thoughts, good or bad. You will have thoughts. What are you doing with those? And so meditating on the word and thinking on the word and thinking on what you want to manifest, it's going to come. And then making declarations. All great stuff. Today I want to follow up with and talk about being fearless. The text is out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. So let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, who I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, and without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And verse 7 is our focus today. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3. Read. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what I want to break down today. And I want to look at that. And, you know, I just kind of wondering, like, you know, what's your new hairdo look like? What's your new clothes look like? But what's fearless look like on you? Huh? I mean, isn't it cool when you feel like you got a new do or you got some new clothes and you're just like, boom, shakalaka. You know, you just feel like, boom. That's all I can say. What's fearless look like on you? See, it looks different in different settings. See, it looks different in the corporate setting. It looks different on the campus. It looks different in your homes. It looks different in your neighborhoods. It looks different wherever you are. But all of you have been called to be fearless wherever you're called. And some of you feel a calling to a certain area in life. You need to pursue the calling. If you're called to be a teacher, then be a teacher and be an awesome teacher. I'll never forget Teresa's kids when she asked them who wants to be saved. And one puts her hand up and two puts her hand up. And then one puts two hands and says, double me, Mrs. Jones. How do you get double saved? I don't know, but it sounds good. Then all of them want to be doubled. I'm just like, come on. You know, you can, in a public school, they would line up before school so she could pray and bind the spirit of rebellion over them before they went into the classroom. She prayed for a mute in the public school library and they got their speech back. I mean, you can shine in areas you think, oh, you're not allowed to do that. You could share personally. Anyway, moving right along. Wherever you're called to be, whether it's in the education system, whether it's in the business, if it's in media, whether it's in wherever it is, you're called. Go be a light where you're called to be and be fearless. What's fearless look like when you're wearing it? Looks different. It looked different on Esther than it did on Daniel. Looked different on Joseph. Looked different on Thomas. Say, oh, doubting Thomas. Thomas went on to rock India. I mean, like, you know, they transformed into something. And so God has a call on your life. What does it fearless look like? Because fear plays on the opportunity of the times, whether we're in a social unrest, whether it's wars, whether it's, you know, financial crisis, whatever it is, fear has a voice. It plays into what's happening in the world around us. But we're not called to be parrots of fear. We're not called to just repeat fear. Paul was calling to remembrance the genuine faith that was in Timothy. And he was going through a very tough time to be a Christian in Timothy's day. And he was saying, stir up the gift which is in you. I want to remind you, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we're going to break those things down today. Because it looks like something and we need to stir it up. We talked about David and last week how David dropped a giant called Goliath. But it wasn't just Goliath. Goliath actually paralyzes a whole army. One guy, I don't care how big he is. One guy can't paralyze an entire army of warriors and soldiers. That was a spirit of fear working with Goliath. But yet David took it out because God is bigger and more powerful than any spirit of fear. There is none greater than your God. We sing it, our God is greater. Well, let's just believe it and take it to the field. I was thinking about you, Marcy, and I was thinking about the battles you guys went through. I was just like, so thankful. Everybody's saying that Milo, he's too small, this, he's that, he's that. They had to fight for their son's life. They had to battle every single day for so long. And yet, look, God is bigger. God is greater. You guys are champions. You're modern day champions to stand and believe and say, I rather believe God than what you're saying, because what you're saying is not a good report. And what I've been preaching for 3 weeks, they lived in a crisis that a lot of us would have just checked out. There's champions all around you that have had to walk through true life situations. And it's not just a Goliath you read in the Bible. Your Goliath manifests in different ways all around this room. There's stories all around this room, testimonies. And there's still some to come where Goliaths are going to fall. I was thinking about that last week, how Goliath fell. And I was thinking about Jericho, how the walls of Jericho fell. And how, if you think about it, every army that came against Jericho, none of them could beat them, but God created an alternate ending. God's a God of an alternate ending. They're like, anyone who's come against us, they all have fallen. God's like, yeah, but check this one out. Joshua's on the scene. What's Joshua? Joshua is the same as Jesus. Joshua means savior. It's a type. Joshua is a type and shadow. The Bible says these things were a type and shadow. The old is a type and shadow of the new. Joshua was a type and a shadow of a Jesus, and Joshua took it down. The walls came down. The greatest fear, anyway, it's a great illustration how they came down. And they came down in a way that was unusual and that only God could take the credit for. But God's still taking and he's creating those alternate endings through Jesus who's inside of you. You have one greater than Joshua and he's in you. And every time they say, it can't be done, it can't be done. No, Jesus is in you. It can be done. It has been done. And God will create a different ending. And you'll have answers no one else has. You'll have solutions no one else had. You'll come up, you'll conquer things no one else has. But I tell you, we live in a world where those fears will constantly come at you. Those things will constantly, images will come. These walls, they're invisible. They're not like Jericho's where you could see the walls. Fear has these walls, but they hinder people. They hinder them from their mission. They hinder them from moving forward. And we've got to, by the power of God, bring them down. We've got to be those who say, I'm not going to yield to it. So fear, it's caused by a feeling of an expectation of imminent danger. Huh? There's a police officer sitting here, or ex-police officer, I don't know, whatever. Police officer, somebody puts a gun to you, you have fear of imminent danger. I'm going to die. Hello? That's a fear that arises from something that's there. But God can change the answer. He can change the ending. Are you with me? Our God changes it. Our God shifts things. So we need to be those who are believing and standing and saying, I recognize that I will have to face fears. One of our presidents, Andrew Jackson, he said, never take the counsel of your fears. Never take the counsel of your fears. Because faith and fear are the same thing. They're both believing in the unseen. Are we going to believe in the bad unseen or the good unseen? It's your choice. But I was believing in the good unseen, and the good unseen didn't happen. Oh, well, mark it up and keep walking. It doesn't change God. Hello? God still raises the dead. God still does miracles. God still, you can still go through and read everything God did instead of one time God didn't. And if you get stuck on what God didn't, then you're not focused on faith. You're focused on fear. I just was praying over one of my spiritual daughters, and I just told her, I said, you're awesome, but you're not taking enough risks. If you don't fail at least weekly and get it wrong, you're not taking enough risks. I said, what? You just counseled her to fail? I'm saying to step out in the spirit. I'm saying to go to pray for somebody. You know, and then you're like, no, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, if we're not those living on the edge, if we aren't making mistakes, we're not even trying to grow. We're just staying in safe zone. Whole nother sermon. But anyway, never take the counsel of your fears. Let's take God's counsel. God's counsel is, God said, I didn't give you spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I love Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Let's take God's counsel. Let's take his counsel. Fear not. Let's do that. Let's fear not. Let's, and then we stop there, but the rest is awesome. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What's a right hand? The right hand speaks of power. God's saying, I'm gonna strengthen you. I'm gonna uphold you with my power. God's power is more powerful than fear. And if we're going to be fearless, we need to be associated and expecting God's power. We need to know what the power of God is. We can't just be those who say, since I don't understand it, I'm going to reject it. Human nature, human tendency is what we don't understand, we reject. But in faith, we can't be that way because you can't just reject what you can't figure out. Do you just not turn on your light switch because you don't know how the juice goes through the wall and turns the light on? Maybe if you're a descendant of Edison, you understand the whole deal. But like, you know, you flip the switch anyway. You don't have to understand the whole principles of electricity and how it worked and what the ground, and you don't have to understand all that, but you still use the light switch. Well, let's use our faith and let's stand and let's be those people that we're not just rejecting things we don't understand. Let's really be believing believers. So the first thing I want to talk about is in this verse, he says, for God's not given us a spirit of fear. So the first one, number one, is we need to be those of fearless faith. We can be because he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear can be have a spiritual influence like I was discussing. Fear, the word fear, as we read it in the Bible, can refer to terror or dread. And the Greek word is phobos, and it actually means like, you know, it's what we just described of you're anticipating dread or fear. But there's also where it speaks of God and it says fear. It's a different word. And it actually could be interpreted revere. And when God's in the sentence and it says fear God, it's more like revere God. Are you with me? God never manipulates and controls you because of fear. He doesn't do it. It's not the way it is. Read it. It doesn't happen. And so there is a healthy fear that we have in a relationship, a reverence towards God. And there's natural fears that help keep you from going down the wrong side of the road because you fear getting in an accident. But there's fears that we constantly need to reject, and definitely a spirit of fear needs to be far from us. Are you with me? I was thinking about the first time I ever went skiing, and I was just wanting to share a few illustrations of fear. So I was trying to think, okay, what's some stupid stuff you did because of fear? I didn't know how to ski, but I was too proud to take a lesson. Come on, guys, don't even look at me that way. So I got off the ski thing, I'm at the top with my skis, and I skied straight towards the pole, and I leaned back, I was in Canada, and I like went straight towards the pole, and then I realized I'm gonna hit the pole, because I don't know how to turn, no one's taught me anything. And I'm going, so I like hit the deck and slid in, and I got a ski on either side of the pole. And the guy literally stopped the ski lift. He rolled and fell off the ski lift. He was laughing so hard at me. And I'm trying to swing my skis, and I got a pole in the middle. I don't even know how to unhook them. I'm like, but I can do like a backflip. So I just roll backwards, put my skis up in the air, and flop this way. Stood up, and whoom, I was off. And the guy didn't, you know, I was gone. But when I got to that end of the ski thing, I had to dirt it again because I don't know how to turn. Because every time I'm going down, and you go to turn, I'm trying to lean back. You lean back, right? No. No. You can't turn when you lean back. So I'd fall again, and then I did that all the way down the slopes. And then, anyway, and then I got a lesson. Then at the bottom, I said, I need to get a lesson. And the lesson they teach you, you don't lean back. I'm like, oh, you lean forward. Who would have known? So I was a youth pastor, so I took kids up skiing all the time. So I taught them how to ski. I'd let them ride with their skis in the middle and do all the things. And so I got kind of good on the beginning and the intermediate slope. Someone says, go down the Black Diamond. So I'm like, I got this thing. Let's do this thing. You could do this. I've seen you ski. You can do this thing. I go down the Black Diamond. It's a different thing on the Black Diamond. It's like steep. And it's got all these moguls. And I'm like, and then I start leaning back again. And what happens when you lean back? You go faster down a Black Diamond. And then I hit the mogul and snow everywhere. Ski went that way. I'm trying to find it. And I put it back on. Why did I start leaning back again? Fear. Fear tries to get you to lean back instead of leaning in. Fear's just like, it's the same thing as like learning how to maneuver. If you lean into your fear, you can maneuver through it. But it's like skiing. If you lean back, you're in trouble. I started thinking about it with fighters and different styles. I used to compete when I was like 20-something. And I noticed some fighters in the room. And when you fight, there's different styles. So some people, they just lean in and they keep coming for you. And then there's fighters that, like in a fight, they'll always step back. They'll step back. So there's retreaters, advancers, and then there's those who sidestep all over the place, squirrely guys. And it's like, try to hit those guys. But, you know, like if somebody went backwards, if like you smack them and they go back in the ring, it was like encouraging because I just keep hitting them, boom, 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 till they're out of the ring because they're retreaters. So I love fighting a retreater because it's easy to beat them. And then sometimes I was a stander, I was an aggressor, so I would just aggress. And so if they're aggressors, another thing happens is they come at you, you come at them. And if you have strong kicks or you're powerful, someone's going to stop. When two forces come at each other, someone's going down. Hello? Can I just tell you, when it comes to God and fear, fear goes down when you go head on. I'll tell you right now, fear will, you can't have God and fear collide and fear wins over God. If you have the power of God, God's power is more powerful than your fears. But you got to lean in. Are you with me? So I learned some lessons even there, and I was thinking about some lessons. I was just trying to think of things that I did, some stupid things I did. One time, to go back before that, I think it was in my 20s, when I was like a freshman, so I must have been whatever a freshman is, and I was riding a bike home from Oceanside High School. I was on Center Street, and this German Shepherd's running after me to bite me, and it was a squeaky bike. So every time I turned, it was like squeak, squeak, squeak. And the dog didn't like that. So he's chasing me. And he's ready to bite me. And I'm realizing, go faster. Squeak, 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 squeak. I'm calling him even more. And he's like catching me. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, he's going to bite me any minute. I'm going to hit the bike. I'm going to get all mangled. Then he's going to sit there and maul me as I'm all twisted in the bike. All these fears are going on in my head. And I realized, you better face this fear head on. So I hit the brakes, turn, do a back kick right in his face. Now, I love dogs. We had two big dogs. Bob can tell you. I love dogs, right? Out of all my brothers and sisters, I love the dogs, right? I'm not a dog hater. I love the dogs. They're so awesome. We had big, giant dogs. They'd get on my shoulder. We'd wrestle with them and stuff. They're so much fun. I love them. But I don't love a dog who's trying to bite me. I didn't have a love for him. It's either... Serious, my mom's a nurse. I'm like, you will get a rabies shot if you can't take the dog with you. I'm going to get a rabies shot, tetanus shot. You know, this is not going to be fun. So I kick this dog in the face. I hit the brakes, force against force. The dog's feet, I'll never forget this picture. His feet went up in the air, hit him so hard. Then when his feet hit the ground, he wraps his tail between his legs and he like whimpers off like, I never had a human hit me in the face like that. Suddenly he realized I wasn't afraid of him. I was still afraid of him, but I'm on the other side of the bike. Now I'm like, what's he going to do? He's put his tail between his legs and went the other way. Can I tell you, when you face your fear, fear will go that way. See, the devil's really afraid of you. But he only has mind games, so he tries to chase you. If you'll run, he'll chase. Right? So I was thinking, go back a few more years, about 10 years before that, or whatever. I was a sixth grader. As a sixth grader, this was so funny. It wasn't funny at the time. Bob knows the two guys who were chasing me. These two bullies. Have you ever been bullied? I was being bullied. So these bullies would chase me home after school. They're throwing rocks at me from up on this hill. And I went by this lady's house down on Cary Road, Oceanside. And the lady's doing her gardening, and she says, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "These guys are trying to kick my tail." She says, "I always told my son, never to start a fight, but never run from a fight. If you run from the fight, you'll always be running." My mom wouldn't tell us to fight anyone. She's mercy, mercy, right? She wouldn't tell you to do anything. I never told her I fought these guys. But next day, bullies are on the hill. Rocks are being pelted at me again. And there were dirt clods, you know, hitting the ground by my feet. I'm getting bombed. So I just like, I look up, they're talking trash. I said, "If you want some of me or something like that, then come on down here." And then I'm thinking, oh my God, they're coming. One's a big Samoan, he outweighs me 2-1. The other one had the mouth. And I'm like, serious, this was like, after I watched Christmas Story, I'm like, this is Scott Farkas and his toady friend. I'm not a fighter. I don't know. But we hung out with these one friends of ours were judo guys, and I didn't know how to flip someone. So this guy's coming at me. He's coming from downhill at me. So I grab him. Before I could do anything, I'm like, "Do something, because they're going to smoke you." I grabbed him, flipped him in the judo flip, had him on the ground. And I'm sitting on top of him. I'm serious. This is like Scott Farkas. I'm like thinking I'm Ralphie. I wasn't crying, but I'm just like, "Da-da-da-da." I was so afraid. And I'm just beating this bully. And he's like, I was just joking. I said, "If I let you up, is it over? Is it over? Because if it's not over, I'm not going to let him up. Like, I don't want to get beat up. These guys are going to kill me. I'm on top right now." And he says, "It's over." I said, "I got up." I said, "It's over. I don't want any problems." Never had a problem with those two guys. They were my friends after that. Never had a problem. He's like, "I didn't really want to hurt you." I'm thinking, yeah, right. But anyway, that sounds bad. Taylor leaned over to Teresa and said, "This is a really violent sermon today." I'm not advocating violence. What I'm telling you is be violent against your fears. Because if you let them stick around, they will bully you. And there might be one fear that's always whispered in your ear, right? Maybe it's a health fear. Maybe it's a financial fear. Maybe it's a relational fear. Maybe it's a whatever. Whatever the fear is, sometimes you have one or two that are the bullies that will always come at you. You need to go after those. And you need to face it and stop it with the power of God. Because God's power will take it out. So the source of being fearless, 1A, the source of being fearless obviously is God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Our source is the power of God. And the power of God is stronger than the power of fear. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do we believe the word? God is more powerful than fear. And God is never afraid. And he's with you. So we forget God's with us and we get afraid. But if we just remind ourselves, no, God is with us. Okay, back to the manual factor. He is with us. He's in us. And I don't face anything alone. I face it with him. I'm in covenant with him. I have a ring. I have a covenant with God. Your Christianity is a covenant. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And he didn't say, "I'll start things, but you have to finish them." In Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, which means he's with you to the end. He will finish. And then he sat down on the right hand at the throne of God. Right hand is the seat of power. So the most powerful one, God gave him a name above every name on heaven, on earth, below the earth, in the heavens. The one who has the seat of power, the one who is the most powerful is inside of you. And his spirit is with you. You got to face your fear and conquer that fear in the name of Jesus. Romans 8:15, you didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, which we cry out, Abba, Father. Our new Father is not the Father of fear. He's the Father of faith, love, and power, and a sound mind. So number two, the next part of this verse, he says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of what? Of love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. No fear. But perfect love casts out all fear. Oh, you're not perfect, so you're going to have to deal with fear. Perfect doesn't mean, it doesn't suggest that there's no, that there's moral perfection What the word perfect means is it means complete. It means there's no gaps in your love. God is perfect love. You stay connected to him. Of course you make a mistake. That's why we have the blood of Jesus. We get forgiven again and again. Right? We have thinking that's wrong, and then we adjust our thinking and we come back. It doesn't mean because you're not perfect, that means you have to deal with fear. No, what it means is he is perfect, and don't let there be a gap, but let it be filled, because perfect love casts out all fear. So God's heart is that we would follow him, and God's heart is we follow him because of what? Because of love. Think about it. The Romans made their people follow him because of fear. They instilled fear in their people in every nation so that people would fear them and follow them because of fear. But God doesn't make you follow him because he makes everyone afraid. You follow him because of his great love and his great love for us. He's a great father. And out of that love, we follow him. Jesus showed us a better way. And it's a perfect love, and it casts out all fear. I love the late President Roosevelt. He said it this way. He said that in his famous radio address, he said, there is nothing to fear except fear itself. There's nothing to fear except fear itself. So we need to reject it, because love is stronger. So the next part of this verse is, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a what? Sound mind. Fearless. Number three is fearless from a sound mind. We can be fearless because we have a sound mind. And sound mind in the Greek is sophronismos. It means discipline. It means self-control. It means a sound mind. It's the opposite. Fear is the opposite of faith. And fear is the opposite of safe thinking. You know, Paul's telling his son, you need to be thinking safe thinking. Come on, guys, what's your number one job? You just got married. What's your number one job for that woman? Your number one job is to make her feel safe. Okay, I'm a terrible driver. So when I'm with my wife, instead of her telling her to correct my driving, I have to remember my number one job is to make her feel safe. If I drive like I drive alone, she won't feel safe. So she says, I don't feel safe. I have to back off the pedal and be like, gentle on your acceleration, because my job is to make her feel safe. When I'm not making her feel safe, I'm not doing my job. I can do that. Hello? I need to feel safe anyway. Because I have officers in the room staring me down. I need to correct that. Hello? I do. But your job is to make her feel safe. I'm not just talking about driving. I'm talking safe financially, safe emotionally, safe spiritually, safe physically. When a woman feels safe, your life's going to be sweet. She feels safe. She doesn't have fear. When a woman's afraid and you're allowing her to be afraid, things don't go so good. Okay? So fear messes everything up in a relationship and in a covenant, and the devil knows it, so he tries to put fear in between you and your God. But guys, that was just a marriage tip. Just letting you know. Just moving right along. So this is a compound word, sophronismos, and the first part of the word is sozo. Maybe you recognize the beginning. And sozo means healed, means saved, healed, and delivered. It suggests someone that now feels safe. I've been born again, so now I'm safe and secure because God has delivered me. He's healed me. He's saved me. Are you here? So, and Paul kind of knew, like Timothy, I know you're going through it, and so I'm just giving you this exhortation to let you know you need to shift your thinking and know that you're okay and that you're safe and you're secure. And because he was going through a really tough time. It's as if he was saying, I know you're being tempted to fear, but don't go there. Don't bite into that thing. You've been rescued from fear. You've been sozoed. And so here we have, and the second part of this word, sophronismos means the second half of this compound word, it means an intelligence or a total way of thinking. It speaks of the process of how we come to our conclusion, and this includes rationale, logic, and emotions. So it's good to have saved, secure, when we anchor our thoughts on God and we think biblically, safe and secure, and biblical thoughts, it results in that kind of thinking. We need to change the way we think. If you get a nation that's all run by their emotion, we're in trouble. Because if everybody responds according to their fears, we're in trouble. If the people, you know, who lead us into battle are just responding based on fear, we're in trouble. The people who are leading us in all different areas in our nation, you can't. But if you have biblical, your mind is transformed and you feel safe and secure, you're going to have proper thinking to think through it. And that's what God wants to do, is God wants to bring you to the point where you have victory over anxiety. And amen. So I'm going to just give you some closing points here. One is you need to drown your fears with faith. Just drown them with faith, not with alcohol. People who aren't saved, they just drown their fears with alcohol. They drown their fears with alcohol so much till they're like bold and I'm not fearful. No, you're just a drunk, afraid person who's acting crazy. Serious. Sometimes they're getting drunk because they're afraid. We're listening to these guys partying and listening to them go off and just getting disgusted. And the Lord just said he's afraid. He's one of those know-it-alls who's got to prove it all by acting like he's all that, but he's really afraid. And we don't need to be like that. I have sympathy and compassion for people like that, but I don't want to be like that. I want to drown my fears with faith. We've received the spirit of adoption, and now we're born again, not of a spirit of cowardice, but God's given us a fearless spirit. You can change your confession when no one's watching, and fearless action will follow when everybody's watching. As you drown your fears with faith in private, you'll be fearless to follow out in public. I really can't emphasize this enough. I'm not just telling you because it's me. You need to do this one. I mean, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6 that he who acts upon the word of God will be founded. But if you don't do anything with the things you hear, you're going to constantly be facing your fears. I sit there and I really spend a lot of time soaking and I take things before the throne. I was in the throne room this morning in his presence. I just go in his presence. Thank you, Father. And I'm addressing him as Father. And then I'm talking about the blood of Jesus, how he's cleansed me. But then I start speaking to him as a judge. And I say, you know this thing that I need you to go work on my behalf. And Jesus is my advocate. I need you to have Jesus go put these things in motion for me. And now when I left, I didn't have to carry him into today. Are you with me? And maybe I'll face troubles again later, but I put him before the throne. He's the judge of heaven and earth. Much rather have God deal with it and send Jesus as my advocate for Jesus to go settle it ahead of time. I'm already speaking to the people. I'm anticipating something through. And so we need to meditate on and take those things to God. Are you with me? But if we don't act upon the things that we're told, we're just going to be like that stream that Luke 6 that beats against us and great is its fall instead of those who are founded on the rock. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. You guys are those who are built on the rock. So one is we just need to drown our fears with faith. And the next one is fire up your faith. When you get the fire of God on it, he said, stir up the gift of God. You know, fire it up. Fan it into flames. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. You can either be stirred or stagnant. You get to choose every day. You chose to come hang out with world changers. You chose to come and get fired up. You chose to come. My goodness, that worship was so awesome, you know? And together, you guys, every time you worship together, you're awesome by yourselves, but there's something so powerful. There's this energy when you worship together, so strong. But to come into the presence of God like that and to just bring us into the throne room is so powerful. That stirs up our faith. It fires us up. To go into his holiness and to touch God, and to be with God, they're going to walk away with that same relationship you drew them into. And that's so important that we come and then we come around world changers and we come into a place where we're trained. We're coaches to train you to go do the ministry, not to come to church. You're not an audience. You're an army being trained to go do what God's called you to do. And you can not only be encouraged by the ministers, by the worship team, and by the fivefold ministers that minister, you need to encourage yourself. You need to speak to yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Before I was saved, I was like, oh, I do believe in spooks. I do. Who pulled my tail? I mean, I was like the most cowardly person in here. That's what I would be like. So when I got saved, I was afraid of public speaking. So I would sit in my office. Actually, I was like, in there, and they're like, you got to do an announcement. I'm like, announcement? I don't want to get in front of people. So I'm like reading it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I am. And I would say all these things. Greater is he that's in me than the fear I'm having to try to get rid of right now. But I'm letting the word, and then I would go out. I can do this. Yes, there's tacos in the parking lot. You know, I mean, Just to say that, it was like huge for me to say. I'm not joking. I was afraid I would cut school to avoid doing public speaking. Why does God call someone into public speaking who was afraid of public speaking? Because he gets all the glory. I'm just saying, like, we got to just conquer our fears with the word of God. And the last walk away I just wanted to walk away with is trust God to make you fearless. Just trust him. In Proverbs 29, he says, the fear of man brings a snare. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. I used to do commercial construction, and I was always out of a job because we'd build a building and then we're out of a job. We got to go build another building. We got to go find another job. So I was constantly out of a job. But the problem was everybody would be afraid. Layoffs are coming. We're all going to be laid off. They're only keeping so many people. And I'm like, that's because you work for him and I work for unto the Lord. I work wholeheartedly as unto God, and I'll be on this job working, but I know God's the one who'll get me on the next job. So it's different when you work for God than when you work for man. If the fear of man, I'm not going to get all afraid. Either God's going to give me favor. Are you with me? So if you are convinced that you really are working for God, then why are you afraid of that? We gotta trust and put our trust in God. We gotta take our fears to God and don't walk away until you possess faith. Do a Jacob hold on him and just say, until I'm Israel, until I'm blessed, I won't leave you. And this last scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of the first scriptures I memorized when I got saved, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not, because your own understanding is gonna cause you to lean back. What people don't understand, they reject. Don't lean on your own, you'll lean away. But lean into God, and he'll direct your path. It's like skiing. You want to turn? Lean into the turn. You got to lean into God. You got to lean into your fear and say, I'm not backing down because my God's stronger. Are you with me? I said it was last scripture, but I have one more. Because I always have a grace. Can I tie them together? It's in Psalms 5:12. It's the last one, I promise. It's another scripture that we used to pray over our kids every day before they go out into school, Psalms 5:12, that in the scripture reads that, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. So we just prayed, let favor surround my children as with a shield. Protect them as they go. Give them favor with their teachers. Give them favor with their peers. Give them favor with everyone around them. Surround us with favor as a shield. Pray God's favor go with you if you're in the battlefield. I pray he go with you if you're on the playground at school, if you're in the educational field. I pray he go with you in the business field. I pray he goes with you on the campuses. I pray his favor would open doors for you that man can't. Let his favor surround you as a shield. That means we lean into him and we trust in him. We trust that God can be a shield when it seems like we're against all odds, because God loves you and he's with you. Would you stand with me today? He's with you. He loves you so much. He promises he would never leave you or forsake you. That was a big one for me. That was a big one when I got saved. God will never leave me. To think that he would never leave me, that just in itself was enough to say, I want covenant with this God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's so faithful to be with you to the end and everything you go through. And I just, as your heads are bowed, if you just bow your heads for a moment, maybe you're here and you don't have that trust and faith in God. You have to know that you have covenant with God. And the Bible tells us these things were written so you may know you have eternal life. If you don't know you have eternal life, then just reaffirm that covenant today with God. And if you don't know you're going to heaven, if you don't know you have eternal life, would you just today affirm that? It's as simple as saying, I believe the cross. I believe the message that Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, that he really did die. He was buried in a tomb and he rose from the dead. I believe that. And because I believe that, I can ask God to forgive my sins based on what Jesus did. And I can be saved, not on my own merit, but by the grace of God, I can be saved. So if that's you and you're in this room with everyone's head bowed and you just say, I want to know I have eternal life. I really don't know, but I want to walk out of here. I want that assurance that it tells us in 1 John 5, 11 and 12. If that's you, would you just look up at me and then just go like this so I know that's you. Just raise your hand and say, I want to know. I want to be sure. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Anyone else, just say, I want to know. Amen. Amen. Just say, I want to know. I want to know for sure. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. I'm going to have everybody pray. The Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. I'm just a man standing here saying, if you'll confess me, you're just admitting to God. I'm going to make a statement. And all of heaven, he hears and knows. He knows. He knows what's in our hearts. And when we put our trust in him, he says, this is his beautiful promise. And I needed this one so bad when I got saved. Oh, I did so many stupid things. I just needed to know that I really was forgiven for everything. In 1 John 5, it tells us, 1 John 1:9 says these things. He said, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. God is faithful. That's all I needed to know. He's faithful to forgive me of all, and that's all I needed. And I just pray for you right now that God will touch you and forgive you of all, that you could leave here really knowing the blood of Jesus is stronger than anything you've done, because shame in your life opens a door to fear. But you can leave shame right now. You can leave it right here. You can walk out of here shame-free and say, I'm leaving my past behind me. So I ask you, to everyone, to pray this room, all over the room, pray this prayer with me and just say, Father, I do believe in your Son, that he really was crucified, that he died, was buried, but you raised him from the dead. Forgive my sins. Today I receive forgiveness. And then put your Spirit in me, your fearless Spirit. I don't ever want to be afraid. I will lean into you. And just listen, he promised that he would forgive you and cleanse you, so you're cleansed of all unrighteousness because you asked him to. He also promised, if you ask me for the Holy Spirit, I will give it to you. So you did two things that were promises from God. So I don't care what the devil tries to whisper in your ear and tell you you're not forgiven or that God's not with you, but that's God's word, and God's not a liar, the devil is. You can believe a liar or believe the one who never lies. So I would just challenge you today to believe that you really are forgiven and that God really is with you. And that's going to shift the ending. So I pray for you in Jesus' name. I bless you. I bless your lives. I pray you have an awesome week. I pray the word transforms your thinking and that you look at things different. And I just ask for your blessing on all the words. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.